following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, family? This is End Time Headlines. It is Tuesday, September 3rd, and we want to welcome everybody back from this Labor Day weekend. We've got a good one lined up for you tonight. I believe this is going to be for a selective group of individuals. This is not going to be for everybody. We're not going to talk about prophecy tonight. We're not talking about headlines tonight. But I want to talk about witnessing the gospel, how the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Many people are looking for a pulpit. They're looking for a platform. They're looking for a microphone. But I'm going to share with you today personal experiences of my own why the greatest harvest is right where you work, right in the marketplace. And I'm going to show you how God will prepare you and he'll raise you up and train you up right there where you're at so that he can prepare you for the ministry that he has for you in the future. So without further ado, let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, what is going on? It's Tuesday. We're coming back from Labor Day weekend. Hope everybody had a great and safe Labor Day weekend. Some of you guys are on the road, probably coming back today or this morning or whatnot. So we pray everybody is able to catch this broadcast. We want to welcome you. If it's your first time joining us, as always, let us know in the comment section below that you're new, where you guys are joining us from. We'd always love to hear that. We want to welcome you guys on Apple and Spotify, on Rumble, YouTube, whatever social media platform you may be watching or tuning in from. As always, don't forget, guys, do us a favor. Smash that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that bell notification. This is not only going to be beneficial for you for keeping up with us on these platforms, but it helps us push our material out there as well. And, of course, your greatest way to keep up with us is simply downloading our free app. You can do it today. Go into your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you, Apple, Spotify, download it today. Right there, you can see what the app looks like on your screen. If you're listening by the visual of this, go to your App Store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official trademark ETH logo you're going to see the ETH End Time Headlines. You're going to see the four blood moons and the solar eclipse in the middle of it. Download that app. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. You're going to be squared away. You're going to have every headline, every podcast, every breaking news. Everything's going to be right at your fingertips. So I wanted to kind of take a break from the headlines and from prophecy, we're going to equip the body of Christ today. And I'm going to talk about how God conditions us, prepares us, in the training ground called the marketplace. Now, when I say the marketplace, for some of you, you instantly think of a place maybe in your town or whatever where they sell fruits and vegetables and organics and localized honey or whatnot. That's not what when I say the marketplace, what I'm saying in general is the place of your employment outside of now. If your place of employment is working from home, you know, if this message would have probably carried a lot more weight on it about 5 years ago before the pandemic, because now everybody works from home, right? But if you're working in a marketplace outside of the four walls of your home, you work in an office, you work in a warehouse, you work in retail, you work in a restaurant, whatever the case may be, this is really going to be pertaining to you today. When I got saved in the year 2000, this past June 2nd, I celebrated 24 years of being born again. When I first gave my heart to Christ, I'm going to share with you today, and I know I'm kind of all over the place, but that's just how I promise you, I take side roads. I always make this analogy. I will take side roads all the time, but I promise you I'll get back to the main highway. I promise you I will not get us lost. But I'm going to cover three main places of employment that I worked at where the Lord gave me a harvest field. I didn't wait till I had a platform to preach the gospel. I didn't wait till I was given a microphone or a pulpit or a church to pastor. No, I'm going to cover these three things. I'm going to share with you some amazing testimonies of how God used me right there in that place of employment. And the reason I want to talk about this today is because, listen, here's the bottom line. This is the truth here. Most of those that are watching and listening today, your ministry is not going to be behind a microphone. It's not going to be on a podcast, on YouTube. It's not going to be a pulpit. You probably are not going to be pastor in a church or an evangelist. But your ministry, ready for this, is the highways and byways. It's the marketplace. It's out there. It's outside of the four walls of the traditional structural perception of what we have of ministry. People, when you talk about ministry, they immediately equate it with a church or now a podcast or behind a microphone or some kind of a platform. But that's not the case. Again, I want to say that the great majority of individuals are average people. And that's not demeaning to anyone. Listen, I like what Casting Crown says. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that saved my soul. Okay? Let me say that again. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. And the majority of you are not, God's not going to use you by, and I'm not saying he won't, but either, listen, there's two types of people listening today. Either one, God has not called you to a pulpit, a microphone, a platform of any of this. Listen, my wife is a perfect example of that. Why do you think you never see her on the camera? She has no calling to be behind the camera. She has no desire to be behind a camera, behind a microphone, doing a pulpit, preaching behind a pulpit. That's not her call. She knows that. But she's in the marketplace. She is a nurse practitioner. She ministers to people through the skills, the gifts, and the talents that God has instilled in her. And we all know, everybody that knows her knows that that's her gift. And it's amazing because it's not just her, but I could go down her family and multiple generations of her families are either nurses or doctors. Why? Because it's a gift. Remember when Paul was speaking to his spiritual son, Timothy, he said, I recognize that in you, he's talking to Timothy, he said, I recognize in you, Timothy, that the faith that you possessed was also seen and your mother and your grandmother. So it was like three generations down that there was a gift that was that was seen and operating in the life of Timothy. And Paul recognized that gift. And some of y'all have that gift. And it may not be your gift, may not be one of the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. Your gift, listen, could be the gift of helps. You remember there was Mary, but she had a sister named Martha. Mary worshiped at the feet of Jesus. Now, and that was great. But Martha had the gift of helps. And Jesus commended her. He didn't rebuke her. Come on, somebody. So some of you guys understand what I'm saying here. So listen to this. There's two types of people. Number one, you know that you're not called behind a pulpit, behind a microphone, a platform, any of this stuff, a pastor of a church or any of this. You're called to do what you're called to do. Some of you guys are graphic designers. Some of you work in an industry, a factory, retail. You're an office building. You're a manager. You're a supervisor. Whatever your occupation is, your gift, your talent is operating. Okay? Now, and I'm going to cover, because I can hear it already, Some of you are saying, well, Brother Ricky, I'm doing what I'm doing now, but I don't love it. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. It's not what I'm called to do, but I'm just doing it because it brings money home and it provides for my family. I've got you covered. I'm going to talk about you in a minute because I've been where you've been. Okay? All this is going to be covered in today's podcast. Then the second group of individuals is those individuals like myself who you have been called into ministry. You have been called to have a platform to reach however many people. Okay? And God has entrusted you with that. I don't take this lightly, guys. What we're doing right now, what I'm speaking to you, and people that I'm speaking to, and people I'm equipping that God has entrusted me with, I don't take this lightly. I'm blown away all the time by this. I consistently talk about how I cannot believe I'm doing what I'm doing. And that God, of all people he could have chose, he chose me to do this? Really? But God has entrusted me with this. And some of you, that you're this. You are called to do this. But right now, you can't see that because you are out there. You're in the restaurant, in the warehouse, in the factory, in the retail, in the office. And you're wrestling with this because your heart is in behind, your heart is to be a pastor of a church. Your heart is in evangelism. Your heart is to be a missionary. Your heart is to raise up that podcast. Your heart is to birth that ministry and be that voice that you know God's called you to be. But it's like you're stuck here, and I'm going to cover that today. So let me give you a scripture here. Let's go to the book of Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew 25. I'm going to pull this up. Give me just a second. I'll pull it up here on the screen. Here we go, Matthew 25. I'm going to read. This is Matthew 25, verse 14. Listen to what it says here. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To each one according to, this is important, guys, his own ability. I love this. So God dispersed talents to each one according to their own ability. That's very important to understand that. And immediately went on a journey. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. He invested in what God had given to him. And likewise, he who had received 2 talents gained 2 more as well. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Now listen to this, verse 20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. And his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Now, this is important. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. This is going to be so important as we get into the meat of what I want to talk about today. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2. Look, I've gained 2 more. And his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few. I'll make you ruler over many things. And the same thing, enter into the joy of the Lord. Verse 24, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. Verse 24, reaping where you had not sown and gathering have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. Wow, I was afraid. And went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. In other words, he didn't do anything with it. He had gifts. He had talents. Guys, can I tell you, listen, can I tell you something really sad? Is the graveyards all around us in your city, in your town, the grave, you know how many talents, gifts, books, novels, world-changing creations, ideas, inventions, all never saw the light of day because they were buried with those individuals, because individuals was too afraid, or whatever the case is that they use excuses, to not step out into what they were called to do. Wow, let that, just soak that in for a minute. Think about that. Look at the response. But the Lord said unto this man, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has talents. Can I tell you, friends? Listen to me. If God has called you to do something for the kingdom, and you do not step out into what God's called you to do for the kingdom, did you know that God will raise somebody else to take your place, and the crown in which and reward in which you were supposed to receive will be received by someone else who had the faith, come on, and the courage to step out and do it. Verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Look at this. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friends, listen to me. This is a sobering reminder that God takes serious what he has put in. He told Jeremiah, listen to me, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, God says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I fashioned you, I formed you, and I called you and ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. He told Jeremiah that. David gives a revelation on this. David said that the Lord knew him while he was being knitted and formed and fashioned in his mother's womb. God had already had a plan for him. Every one of us. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I don't care your political status or your affiliation. I don't care your skin color. I don't care your ethnicity. I don't care your economic position of where you stand, what you represent. You have been called for a work for the kingdom. Now, what that is, I can't tell you that. You have to pray and seek the Lord and find that out, and you will know that. But I got to get through this because I've got a lot to cover today. Now, let me go back here. I want to talk about in June 2nd, 2000, I gave my heart to the Lord, got born again, radically saved. Many of you guys have heard this testimony, so I don't want to rehash too much of it. It was a radical transformation. I just immediately began to consume the Word of God. I was completely addicted to the presence of God. I wanted to be in the church every single time the doors were open. I was always loved being in the presence of God, in worship and praise and in His Word and in prayer. And God just began to mature me quickly and begin just pouring out revelation into me, and I begin to grow exponentially. I say that to say this: your maturity level and your growth level is not depending upon your age. I know people that have been saved for 5 years that are far more mature than Christians that have been saved for 30 years. Because those Christians that have been saved for 30 years, they reach a plateau and they think they know everything, and they become lukewarm, they become passive, and they lose their first love, and they lose their hunger and their desire, come on, to seek after God. So they become stagnant. There's no fire in their bosom. There's no passion. There's no desire. There's no fervency. Whereas the individual that's been saved for 5 years still hungers and thirsts after righteousness, and they're being filled. They're pursuing from glory to glory. Glory to glory, and they're just consuming and digesting the Word of God, and they're growing in leaps and bounds. So I want to say that maturity in the Lord is not based on age. It's based on your hunger level and how much you want. God, listen, God is going to give to you as much and less as you want of Him. If you're satisfied, come on, with the sampler size of the Holy Ghost and the sampler size. When you talk about, have you ever been to the, back in the day, I remember you go to the mall, and I can use two illustrations here right off the top of my head when I think about it. Because you go to the mall, you go to the food court, and you go to the mall, you go into places like Dillard's or JCPenney's, and I don't know if they do this anymore because it's been so long since, I don't even think they do this anymore. They may or may not, I don't know. But they used to give you a sample of a cologne or a perfume. It's not all of it. It's just enough that you can taste and see if you like it. You can smell it. Okay. Oh, come on. God said, taste and see that the Lord is good, but he doesn't want to give you just a sample. He wants to lay a table out before you in the presence of your enemies. Come on. He says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. He said, I am the bread of life. And if any man eats of me, he shall never hunger again. Or you'd go to the food court. Remember, you'd inevitably walk by a restaurant. Many times it'd be like a Japanese restaurant or a Chinese restaurant, and somebody be yelling out with a little, they'd have a little toothpick with a little piece of a meat on it, and they'd be like, sample, 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 sample. And you'd go over there and, sure, I'll take a sample and eat that. The strategy is, listen to me, they're hoping that as you take a bite and take the sample, that you will enjoy it so much that you won't be satisfied with the sample, but then you won't have to go search and look for another place to eat in the food court because you'll be hooked on the taste in which they gave to you, the sample they gave you. Now you move from a sample, come on, to the whole thing. You want to feast on, I don't want just a sample anymore. This ain't going to cut it. I got to have more. So that's how I was in my walk with God. That's how I began to memorize scripture because I was reading it so much. David said, I hide the word of the Lord in my heart that I may not sin against you. So I didn't understand. Now I'm still, look, you think I took a rabbit trail or a side trail and I'm going way off here and I'm not on. No. I'm going back here. The reason why God was filling me up with the word of God, I didn't know then, but later on it came to fruition. It came to to make sense why this was happening. Because listen, God says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Is that not what the scripture says? But I'm going to give you an old analogy that I heard a preacher say one time. If you have a well, you have to, in order to draw water up from the well, again, this is how they used to do it. Probably don't do that anymore, but you have to draw a bucket. The bucket draws out the water from the well. But listen, if the well is empty and dry, there's nothing that can come in the bucket. So when you pull the bucket up, it's dry. It's got a bunch of cobwebs in it. It's empty. So if you don't fill yourself up with the word of God, there ain't nothing to draw out of, and you can't offer anybody anything because you don't have anything to offer to anyone. So what I understood later, what I didn't understand at the time, but later it made sense, is God was filling me up so that when I went into, watch this, not the church, and there was none of this back then. There was no podcast. There was no YouTube ministries or any of this stuff at all. I had no desire at that time to be a pastor, an evangelist, none of that. I just loved Jesus. And I just wanted everybody to know about this radical encounter with this God that completely revolutionized my life, that broke off of me strongholds that I had, took away things that I struggled with, and gave me new hope and come on and life in Christ Jesus. And I wanted to share this with everybody. So he began to fill me up with his word so that when he launched me in the marketplace, the well would be full so that I could draw up with the bucket and disperse living water to my, come on, my fellow employees. Are y'all hearing me today? So the first place, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I worked at my first job that I worked at long term was a restaurant called Arby's, and it's still around, but completely different Arby's than what I worked at. The food's different, nothing like it used to be. But anyway, I worked there. By the way, that's where my wife and I met. Crazy story. She was actually my boss or my supervisor. We were working there together already when we got saved. We both came to the same service on that Friday night of June 2nd. We both gave our heart to the Lord. And then at that point, we knew that we had to get married, and we both knew that we wanted to serve the Lord all the days of our life. Come on, be not unequally yoked. Listen, it's not just non-believers and believers. To be unequally yoked, you can both be believers, but if someone is not going in the same direction as you, this can be a problem. So as soon as I got saved, I pulled her to the side and said, look, I love you. I want to be with you the rest of my life. You're the one I want to be with. But now I have found a greater love than what I have for you. I have found God. I know now that God has saved me, redeemed me, and delivered me. And I feel like he's got something for my life. And I just want everything he's got for my life. This is the conversation I had with my wife at that time, was my girlfriend. We weren't even engaged. And I said, I need to know tonight. I'll never forget this. Where do you stand? Do you want to do this thing with God? Because if you don't, we may have to part ways. Look, and no one taught me that. I didn't even know the word at that time, guys. This was like the Lord was giving me revelation right there. Like this is absolutely essential that you make this decision. And she said yes that night. She said, yes, I want to go. I want to go wherever the Lord has us go, and I want to serve him, and I just want to do this thing together. And we made that commitment that night. Eventually we got engaged, and eventually we got married. But at that time, we were both still working in an Arby's. Now watch this. Then as I continued to work there, continued to consume the Word of God, get into his presence, just growing in the Lord. And God used me mightily at that restaurant. Now, this was in Kentucky when I lived in Kentucky. I remember one of the greatest stories, I'll never forget this, is one night, because I had a journal, and I still use a journal, and I write stuff down when the Lord speaks to me, things that I feel like the Lord speaks to me. I write those things down, messages, dreams, whatever the case would be. So one night I had a dream. And I'll probably have to give you the cliff notes on all this, because we won't get through all this if I take the long, long detail of this. In this dream, and some of y'all has heard this story before, but I'm going to share it again, for we got a lot of new people coming in. In this dream, I was a shift coordinator and a training coordinator. So every new person to come in, I'd had to train them in the certain departments of the restaurant, and then I had to coordinate shifts and all this. So these were my job duties that I had to do. So one night the Lord gave me a dream, and in this dream I was training a new employee. And in the dream, this was bizarre, but in the dream I saw the woman that I was training she was a very young woman. She had all black, black eyeliner, black lipstick, black nail polish, black hair. And I knew in the dream she was gothic. She was very dark. She had a dark appearance to her. And watch this. And in the dream, I was training her. And the Lord showed me in the dream that I laid hands on her, prayed for her, and the Spirit of God touched her. She began to weep, and God broke all that stuff off of her. And I woke up. So I wrote this down in my journal. And then I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was like a month later. It wasn't that long at all, but it was like a month later. It was a night shift. I was working. I had a new trainee come in. And there she is. I'm training her. She has black hair. And I noticed she had black nail polish. And so as I'm training her, I look down, I see the black nail polish, I see the black hair. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost spoke to me in my spirit man, not audible voice, in my spirit man. And the Lord said, this is the girl that I showed you in the dream. And I said, Lord, what? I said, I was like, I can't lay hands on her. I like, we're in a restaurant. We're not in a church. And the Lord says, just be sensitive to my spirit. Just talk to her and I'll give you the words to speak. So I'm nervous, but I knew God would have not given me that dream in that much detail and set this up and make this a divine appointment if he didn't have something, not for me, watch this, but for her. So as we got to talking, I said, I do not remember her name, but I said, so-and-so, I said, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm just going to tell you anyway. Come on, I'm talking about you. Listen, and when God speaks to you, friend, you got to be bold. Come on. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. You got to step out. Now, remember that those scriptures I gave you? God will reward the faithful. If you're faithful over what is little, he will make you ruler over what is much. Some of y'all want to be used mightily by God, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, all this stuff. But listen, if he can't trust you to minister to someone in a small capacity, he will never use you in a large capacity. Oh, I'm ministering today. I'm trying to equip some people here today, if you'll listen to me. So I knew this was no longer about me. This was about this woman. God was after this girl. Come on. So I opened my mouth. I said, listen, so-and-so, I don't know. This is going to sound crazy to you, but I'm a Bible-believing Christian. And I had a dream about a month ago. And in this dream, I saw you in a dream. I knew it was her. And her eyes got big as half dollars. She's like, what? And I said, you're Gothic, aren't you? I told her this. I said, the Lord showed me that outside of work, you wear all black, black eyeliner, black. And I told her how she wore, you know, what she looked like. So she is captivated. I said, is this true? And she said, yes. She said, that is true. She said, this is crazy. And I said, why? And she said, I don't even know if I want to even talk about this. I said, well, just tell me. I said, because God gave me this dream for a reason, so I need to know. And she said, this is insane. She said, I used to go to church. Listen to this, church. Come on. She said, I used to be in the church. I attended church, and I used to be in the choir. She said, I was one of the main singers of the choir. And she even said, she said, I had a beautiful voice, and I sang in the choir. But then she said, but over a period of time, circumstances happened. I backslid. I fell away from God. Didn't want to go to church anymore. And she said, when that happened, she said, I began to embrace darkness. And she named some things. I believe it was like the occult and this and that. And she said, the crazy thing is she said, when I've walked away from the church and walked away from God, I lost my ability to sing. And when she said this, I immediately stopped. I put my hand up because I felt the Spirit of God come on me. And I told her by the unction of the Holy Ghost and said, I said, so-and-so, I said, the Lord says tonight that he has your number. And the devil is a liar. And not only will he come on, not only does he love you, not only is he still after you and chasing after you, but that gift was not given to you from Satan, but it was given from God. And tonight the Lord says, if you'll repent and come back to him, he will restore unto you your voice. And because he has called you, come on, to be a voice to sing and for the gospel's sake. And tears started flowing down her eyes. This is in Arby's, guys, not in church, not in an altar service at church. This is in the back. This is in the back room of the kitchen at Arby's in Kentucky. She's weeping, and I laid hands on her shoulder, and I began to pray for her, and God touched her mightily right there in the restaurant. Let me tell you something else that happened there. There was a man by the name, his name was Daniel, that worked there. He was a very bold guy. If you think I'm bold, you should have met this guy. He was bold, but he was just, he had a foul mouth. He didn't know God. He was just running from God. And through time, me sharing the gospel with him, he ended up, he repented of his sins, gave his heart to the Lord, got water baptized, got filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. But then tragically, we became really good friends, and I began to pour out into him. I discipled him. I was equipping him. And then tragically, about 2 years after this, he ended up dying of lymphoma cancer, left his wife and his small child behind. I remember I wept over this. I said, God, why? He was so young. He was only like 22 years of age or somewhere around there, or 23. And I said, Lord, why did he do this? And the Lord said, son, he said, I was merciful to him. I saw that he was coming to the end of his physical life. And it was, and I don't want to explain all this, because there was things that he did. He didn't eat right. He was exposed to a lot of chemicals, herbicides and stuff that caused the lymphoma cancer. And this is not coming from me, guys. This is coming from the physicians that treated him. Okay. But the Lord knew this. Oh, come on, watch this. But the Lord knew that the clock was ticking. So God entrusted me to share the gospel. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost on this. Trusted me to share the gospel with him. And I did. He gave his heart to the Lord. He got saved, got water baptized, got filled with the Holy Ghost. And come on. And thank be to God that though he died, he is today with the Lord. Now think about this, church. What if I would have not stepped out and shared the gospel with him? Another individual that worked there, his name was Steve. I met Steve. He was a guy that came in. Same thing. Through time, I shared the gospel with him. Steve repents, gives his heart to Christ, gets water baptized, gets filled with the Holy Ghost. And then years later, I meet him. We reconnect. I mean, we're talking about 5 years went by, and we moved to an apartment complex. I was standing outside the apartment complex. My wife and I, we were getting ready to walk, because we were within walking distance of some major stores there in Louisville, Kentucky. And he's walking by. He looks at me, runs up to me, and says, brother, he said, do you remember me? He called me by my name. He said, do you remember who I am? And I said, I said, Steve? He says, yes. And he grabbed me and he gave me this big old hug. And he said, brother, he said, I just want to, I've always wondered where you've been. He said, I just want you to know. He said, I just want to thank, and he started crying. He said, I want to thank you. And he was hugging me. He said, thank you for sharing the gospel with me. He said, I got saved. He said, eventually I ended up doing Bible studies in my apartment, and the Lord's allowed me to lead people to the Lord and equipping people. He said, in fact, I'm having a Bible study right here in my apartment complex tonight. He said, I would love for you to come by as a special guest and speak to the people. And I said, you know what? Praise God. I'll come and I'll do that. And we reconnected. What am I talking about? I'm talking about, listen to me. God, I'm telling the Holy Ghost, if you can feel what I feel in my studio right now, I'm telling the Holy Ghost is all over this. Some of y'all you're just looking to get Instagram famous or YouTube famous or a platform or a pulpit or a microphone. And God is just sitting back saying, I want to use you right there in your workplace. Now look, I was not afraid of losing my job, because if God gave me the job, and I'm witnessing for him, then you know what? God has the ability to give me another job. Oh, y'all, some of y'all need that revelation right now. Now, I'm not saying you should be stupid and not use discernment. Yeah, be harmless as doves, gentle as doves, but be wise as serpents, okay? For example, my wife's a nurse practitioner. She's not going to go in there and preach Jesus to every one of her patients, because that would just be stupid. That would be, but if the opportunity presents itself, remember Nicodemus didn't go to Jesus in public, friend, because he knew there'd be repercussions. Nicodemus set up a meeting in the stealth of the night in private and wanted to talk to Jesus, and Jesus poured into him and equipped him. Are you hearing me? So maybe you got some people at your work, and you can't pull up a pulpit right there at the factory, at the belt in your factory. You can't do it at the cash register. You can't do it in the office. But maybe that individual, they see your light so shining among them that they may see your works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. They see that you are salt and that everything, that your life, come on, puts a taste in their mouth where they savor more. They want more of what you've got. They want to know the God that you serve. They want to know the Christ that you have surrendered to. They want to have that peace that you've got. So what they do is they say, so-and-so, will you please meet me for lunch? Will you go out with me to dinner? And you say yes. And you go out to lunch. You go out to dinner. And then you're not in the workplace. Oh, y'all going to get this. Now you're no longer in the pavilion of the workplace. You're not on that property. Now you're at a neutral place. You're in a restaurant. You're outside that. Maybe you invite them to your home or they invite you to their home. Then, come on, at that point, you can take the filter off, baby, and you can start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Share your testimony. Open up to them. And come on. And that leads me to the next part. Then, eventually, the Lord transitioned me to a different place. Now, at this point, I never still have no idea that God is going to call me to do what I do today at this point. So I'm still... But he's blessing me, he's prospering me, and he's promoting me. Let me say it again. While I'm in the marketplace, not doing this, not pastoring the church, he's blessing me, he's prospering me, and he's promoting me. So now I work at a place called UPS Logistics in Louisville, Kentucky. Don't know if it's still there. It could be still there. Don't know. I go in there. Long story short, there's different positions there. There's different departments there. And when I first came in there, I started out there on the floor, the main floor, and it is hot in the summer and it is cold in the winter. It's kind of like UPS. If you UPS or FedEx distribution centers, if you've ever worked in any places, you know what I'm talking about. Now it's probably different now then, but I'm talking about back in the early 90s, 2000s. You worked in those places in the winter, buddy, you better be wearing layers of clothes because you're going to freeze. And in the summer, you're going to sweat, honey. And you're going, listen, the best shape I've ever been in my life was when I worked at UPS. Because if I had this thing back then, if I had one of these watches that gauged how many calories I burned off, I'm telling you, it would have been astronomical, the amount of sweat that I was losing. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But so here I am at UPS Logistics. I start out on the main floor. I'm working there as time progresses. Listen to this. While I'm there, God was giving me dreams about coworkers that I worked around. He was giving me a dream. I had a dream about this guy. A detailed dream about, I saw this man. I saw his face and I saw his wife. Or his girlfriend didn't know in the dream. That wasn't, you know, really detailed to me. But she got into a car, was driving to work, and it was an accident. It was raining. And so I remember I woke up the next day, and I looked at this individual, and I said, so-and-so, I said, and again, I had to do the same spiel. I know this is going to sound crazy, but I want you to know that I'm a born again, a spirit-filled believer. God gives me dreams. I had a dream. You were in the dream. I saw your wife. She was getting into the car. I described his wife, his car, or her car. And when I got to that point, he was freaking out. He says, whoa. How do you know that my wife looks like this? And how do you know that she drives this car? I said, listen to me. I'm trying to tell you. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen, but there's going to be a morning come. It could be tomorrow, this week, whatever. And it's going to be raining. And she is going to want to go somewhere. But you need to tell her not to go, get her attention, don't go, whatever the case would be. And I'm telling you, a couple of days went by. He comes in and he comes up to me, says, hey, I just want you to know that my wife was getting ready to go. And I can't remember where he said. And as soon as she stepped out and she was getting ready to get in the car, she opened the door and it was raining. He said, I immediately remembered your dream. And I told her, please don't go. Just wait till at least it stops raining. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about God will move. He will use you where you're at if you're faithful. And then there was through a series of circumstances, one of the supervisors from another department came up to me and he says, "Hey, somebody has called in a different department. We need you to fill in temporarily. Are you okay with that?" And I said, "Sure, I'm okay." So they put me in this room and it was an air conditioned room in the summer. Right there, I was like, "Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll call that a promotion, even if it's temporary." Are you hearing me? So I went in there and we was in there and I was in there for like a day and then 2 days, 3 days. And then I'll never forget my supervisor. It doesn't matter. His name was Alan. He came up to me and he said, "Hey," he said, "I know you've been in here all week." He said, "But don't get comfortable because this is not a temporary position." He said, "Because the typical protocol is people that have seniority out there on the floor will get the first dibs on this position. So there's no way you're going to get this position." I said, "Okay." I said, "That's fine. I'm like, I'm just enjoying the reprieve from the heat." And he laughed. So as time went on, 2 weeks went by. I'm still in there. And I was doing such an excellent job that I don't know what happened to the individual, but I think they quit their job or they got fired because they lost too many days. They took too much time off or whatever. So Alan came to me and says, "Look, that individual is gone. They're terminated." He said, typically we use seniority to promote people to these positions. He said, "But you have done an excellent job." He says, "I really like what you're doing." He says, I'm going to bypass that. And if you want the position, I'm going to give it to you." And I said, "Hallelujah." I said, "Yes." I didn't say hallelujah, yes, but I was thinking inside. I was like, "Hallelujah." But on the outside, I said, "Absolutely." I said yes to him. God gave me the promotion and position. But watch this. It was never about my comfort. I'm not saying that God won't take care of you. And I'm not saying that God doesn't care about the small things. I mean, my goodness. He said, I can see the very hairs on your head. They're numbered. I know which ones fall out. So he does care about the very smallest, minute things about us. But this was not about me and my comfort, but it was about what God wanted to do through me in that room. Long story short, I carried a little Gideon Bible. How much time do I got left? I got a few minutes. I carried this little Gideon Bible. It was a little orange Gideon Bible, and I would carry it in there. And I was at this table with about 12 other guys. And then there was a table over here with about 10 people. And there was a table across this room with 10 people. And there was a table over here, about 10 people. So I'm right here at this table. And during our break times, we have about a 10-minute break. We can sit down these little stools and we can talk and whatever. So I would pull out my little Gideon Bible. And I'm just reading the Bible. And I remember these guys would make these comments. "Oh my God. You know, blank, blank. He brought the Bible. Can you believe?" They were like, "You can't bring that Bible in here." I'm like, "Why? Who says?" I was like, I'm just reading the Bible. I'm not hurting anybody. So they all make these comments. And then Alan comes over and he makes these derogatory comments about me, my faith, Christianity. And he starts bringing his aunt into it. Now you may say aunt, auntie, or aunt. We all three of these, depending on your demographics, that's okay. I say aunt. His aunt came, or he talked about how, and now he's talking to me and all these other guys' table, and he talks about, he's like, "Oh, I hope you're not like my aunt so-and-so." He's like, "My aunt is always trying to preach to me, always trying to tell me I need God, always trying to lay tracks everywhere, always trying to invite me to church," and so on and so forth. And I said, "Well," I was like, "Alan, you know, God's probably trying to get your attention." And he laughs and blows it off. So time goes on. While I'm living out there in Shepherdsville, Kentucky, there were some friends of ours that lived in a trailer park. And this was the minister that married my wife and I. Him and his wife lived in this trailer park. So we went over there one night and we start hanging out. We start having dinner. And as we're sitting there, my pastor friend's wife said, "Hey, I want you and Melissa to meet. You would love them." And I'm like, "Who's this?" And they said, it's so-and-so. It was a woman's name. And they said, "I want you to go meet her because she's on fire for the Holy Ghost. She loves the Lord. You will love her." And I said, "Okay." So they took us out and we walked across the street and that's where she lived. So we went over there and knocked on the door of the trailer. And Kathy's like, and that's my, the wife of my pastor friend, and she said, and Kathy's like, she introduces my wife and I to this woman. This is an older, elderly woman. And I said, you know, so-and-so, how you doing? You know, I'm Ricky, this is Melissa, blah, blah, blah. And she's just starts talking about the Lord. She's like, yeah, I worked at GE for several years. She said, but it just got so, I couldn't take it physically anymore. And I prayed and prayed and God released me. She said, but God used me mightily there. I was witnessing the gospel to people. God was using me. And, she said, you know, that, she said, now I've kind of settled in and retiring. She said, and I'm focused on family members of mine. Listen to this. She said that are stiff-necked and that need the Lord. She said one in particular is my nephew, Alan. He is the most stubborn, stiff-necked person that I know. She said, I have tried to get that boy to get to church for years. I have witnessed the gospel to him. I've laid tracts. I've given him tracts. I've done all this stuff. And I said, well, she didn't say his name. Excuse me. It's been a while, guys. Y'all gotta bear with me a little bit. It's been a while. She never said his name. She said, my nephew. And I think I may have said that. She said, my nephew. And she never named his name. And she, you know, again, she said, he's stiff-necked. I've tried to witness to him. I've shared the gospel with him, laid tracts to him, but he's just stubborn and stiff-necked. She said, but I'm praying that the Lord will get to him. So we talked for a while and we left, and we get back over to the trailer over at Kathy and Tim's trailer where we're hanging out. And we're sitting there, and here it is. And I didn't hear this audibly, but in my spirit, the Lord said, you do know that woman you just met, her nephew is Alan, that I have positioned you with in UPS Logistics to witness the gospel to him. And I said it out loud. No way. I mean, I'm sitting there and everybody looking at me like, what are you talking about? I said, that's impossible, God. Are you serious? He goes, Go find out. So I said, Kathy, I was like, we got to go across the street. I got to go talk. I said, or call this woman, get her on the phone. And I told them the whole story and they're blown away. And she said, no way. So I picked up the phone, called her, said, so-and-so, this is, you know, I just met you. She said, oh yeah, yeah, I remember you. I said, I have to ask this question to you. I said, is your nephew, his name Alan by chance? And she said, and it got real quiet. And that was the moment of truth. And she said, oh, she said, honey, yes, it is Alan. And she said his last name. She said, how do you know this? And I said, ma'am, I said, I'm telling you, I said, the Lord has heard your prayers and he has put me strategically in position to witness the gospel to him. And she was crying and weeping on the phone. I started crying. I was like, wow, God, you are so good. I was like, I don't even understand all this. Okay, so watch this. So time goes on. So the next day, I couldn't wait to get in there. So I come back to work. I get in there. And as soon as I got there, I said, where's Alan? And they said, and they're passing around a card. And somebody said, well, he's not here today. They said, and I said, what's this card? And they said, he's sick. And I'm like, what do you mean? And turned out that he had cancer on his mouth and he had to go get all these treatments and stuff. And I said, wow. I was like, I really need to. So he wasn't there when I came back. So eventually he came back with his big old bandage because they removed this cancer. And he comes back and he sits in the room and I said, Alan, because he starts coming at me again with this guy, I don't know what the past was with this man, but he was bitter towards God. He was bitter towards Christianity. And he was just boom, boom, just going at it. And I got the attention of the whole room. And I said, Alan, I said, the woman that you speak of, that's your aunt, I said, her name is so-and-so. I can't remember her name, guys, so forgive me. I said, her name is such and such, isn't it? And he just paused. And I said, and she worked at General Electric for years. And she lives in such and such trailer park in Shepherdsville, Kentucky, right? His face turned ghost white. And I was waiting. And he said, I said, that's her, isn't it? And he said, And his face turned, goes white. And he said, no, that's not her. And I said, you're lying. I said, and everybody looks into me, because everybody's looking at me now like, okay, what's your point? It's not her. And I looked at everybody. I said, he's lying. That's her. I said, I'm telling you before God. And that got their attention. I said, that's the woman. I'm telling you, that's the woman. And God positioned me in her for a reason. Okay, so he just walked away. Everybody left. We're getting ready to go to lunch. He grabs me by the shoulder. He said, I need you to stay back for a minute. Everybody leaves. It's just Al and I. We're in the room. And he said, he looked at me dead in the face. He said, how did you do that? He said, I want to know how you found her. I said, Alan, listen to me. I said, I know you're angry at God, bitter at God. I don't know what the situation is. I said, but God, I was like, you think it was an accident? You think it was a coincidence that out of 200 people or 100 people out on a floor, the one individual that you specifically came and chose to put in here to fill in somebody's shoes happened to be a born-again, spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled believer that just so happens to know how to pray and hear from God? And I say, God, that's not an accident. I say, God put me in your path, and now you have cancer. I was like, God is trying to get your attention, man. I was like, and you think it's a coincidence that I just happened to, in all of the places in Kentucky, I just accidentally ran into your aunt who's been praying for you and interceding for you. I was like, wake up, man. God has got your number. So he starts tearing up, but he would not give his heart to the Lord. I'm telling, what am I talking about today? I'm telling you, friends, don't look for a pulpit. Don't look for a microphone. Don't look to be the next influencer. Look for an opportunity. The harvest is plentiful, Jesus said, but the laborers are few. That leads me to the next. So then I was there for a while. God released me. I transitioned to a construction supply company. This would ultimately be the last place I would work. And it was hard. I called it the Egypt that I worked at. It was physically laboring. It was hard. It was 102 degrees outside. I'm working in it. If it's -5 degrees, I'm working outside. Blood, sweat, tears. It was hard work. I was there for 5 years. And the whole time I'm there, listen to me, that was my pulpit. I was ministering to people, witnessing to people. You guys have heard me tell you the story about a guy named Ed that I was witnessing him the gospel, and he came to me and privately, like Nicodemus did with Jesus. He pulled up, we had these buckets of stucco, because that was my main department there, as I would mix and make stucco and I would ship this out. So and I worked in my own little building there that had a door. I mean, we was just a building. So he came back here one day, he shut the door, locked the door. He said, pull up a bucket. I said, what in the world are you talking about? He pulled up a bucket and he looked at me dead in the face. He said, Ricky, he said, I know that God wants me to serve him with all my heart. I know that I need to get right with God. He said, but I love partying and drinking too much and I'm not willing to give that up. And I looked at him and I said, is it worth perishing? What profit is it to gain this whole world and lose your soul? Is it worth your soul? And he could not answer me. He got up. He left. A week later, I went to work that early day. I know, bear with me for you guys who've heard the story before. I'm not going to give you all the details. About a week later, somebody came up to me because we would clock in early. It was like 6:30 in the morning. This guy that I worked with came up to me. Goes, did you hear what happened to Ed? Did you hear what happened to Ed? I said, no. He said, he was in a motorcycle accident. He was not wearing a helmet. He was drunk. He wrecked and his brain is swelling. They're saying he's not going to make it. I had to excuse myself. I went to the bathroom. I started weeping. I said, God, I was like, don't let this happen. And the Lord spoke to me and said, son, I gave him one last chance. I put him in your path. He came to you eager, wanting me, but he was not. And the Lord began to show me. Remember in the Bible, it talks about the sower and the seed. Some fell on the stone. Some fell on the rocks. Some fell on the barren dirt and some fell on good soil. And remember in that parable, it talks about there's people that they hear the gospel and it begins to bear fruit for a moment, But the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches chokes it out. And this is what he began to show me. This is what happened. He was bound by alcohol and the love of the world, and it kept him from accepting the fullness of the gospel. So I'll never forget that. I wept over this, but I thought about how merciful is God that God gave that man one last chance. Now think about this. What if that day, instead of being yielded to the Holy Spirit and being submissive to be a vessel to be used by him, I said, God, I don't want to do this today. I don't want to do this today, so I'm not talking. But I was sensitive to the Holy Ghost, and I shared with him exactly what the Lord wanted Ed to hear. But it's not on me, friend. It was on him. I'm telling you, God will use. And then let me give you one last story, and then I'm going to pray for some folks. Then we had a new hire by the name of Zach. In fact, I'm going to get Zach. I'm going to get a hold of him. I'm going to try to get him on this podcast because I would love for him to talk about this, what I'm about ready to share with you. And this would be a great podcast together. So I'm going to make a note, try to get him on here. But Zach was, he came in and he used to go to a Church of Christ. Now, in that denomination, they did not believe in exuberant worship, expressive worship. In fact, they didn't do any instruments, nothing. And they didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit and operating in signs, wonders, and miracles, healing today, none of this stuff. They didn't believe any of that stuff. So Zach, there was something about Zach. Zach loved the Lord. He was much younger than me. So I looked at Zach was like a Timothy to me. And I poured into him. He got around me. We got to talking. I started beginning to share testimonies, and it sparked a hunger inside of him. He was hungry for the Lord, and he wanted more of God. So I began to invite him over my personal house. He came over our house. We prayed together. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost just wrecked him. He got on fire for God. He went back to his church up in Indianapolis. He began to tell people, listen, God is still in the healing business. God is still in the supernatural business. God still speaks through dreams and visions. He's still, come on, using us to cast out devils and lay hands on the sick. He's still doing this today. And to prove that point, listen to this. Time went on. God delivered me out of Egypt. And I'm going to get to that in just a second. Because I told you I wouldn't forget about you guys that are, you feel like you're called to a pulpit or a microphone or a pastor or an evangelist, but you're still in your Egypt. You're still in your marketplace and you can't stay in your job. And it's wearisome. And you're like, how long, oh Lord? I'll get to you in just a second. But for Zach, he texts me one day. He says, you got to hear this story. I said, what happened? He said, here I am in Indianapolis. He said, my church is rejecting everything that the Bible is telling me that we can still do today. So he said, what I did, I started having a Bible study, a small group in my apartment. He said, six people came. He said, there wasn't that many people. And that's why I want to get him on so he can give you all the, I'm probably leaving some of the details out of this, and I want him to come on and share this testimony. He said there was people coming in there. One woman had tumors on her lungs, and she said, "Will somebody pray for me because I've been diagnosed with cancer?" And Zach said, "We're going to do more than pray for you." He said, "We're going to lay hands on you, and we believe that those Mark 16, they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." So he lays hands on her. The fire of God hits this woman, not in a church. And she felt the fire of God, the presence of God. She wept. They all wept. They praised God. She went, goes back to the doctor. She feels amazing. They do a full body scan. The doctors are perplexed and said, we don't understand this. We can't tell you what happened. They said, here's your befores. Here's your after. There's no tumors, no trace of cancer. She comes back to the apartment, brings her scans, shares the story to the whole group with Zach. People are weeping and crying. And then word gets out. Other sick people come in. Are you hearing me? And they lay hands on them. And God begins to heal them, move them. And all of a sudden, it goes from six people to it multiplies. And God starts using Zach right there. Not in a pulpit. not behind a microphone, not in a church, but in his apartment. I'm trying to tell you today, friends, that God will use you in the little, and when he sees that he can entrust you with the small things, he will promote you to the larger things. Now, that leads me to the last point before we close this podcast and we pray for some people. When, by the time I transitioned from Arby's to the UPS Logistics, to then I went to this other company. So while I was there, I had so many people, my supervisors, my bosses that would come to me. Now, this is my this is the construction supply company. And they asked me straight up, why are you doing this? And I'm like, what do you mean? They said, why are you working here? Every one of them were like, you need to be a preacher. You need to be an evangelist. You need to be a pastor. That's your calling, not this. And I said, well, and I knew at that point, guys, I already knew from just being in the Word and his presence that God had called me to preach the gospel. I mean, I've got a radical testimony. Listen, who's never heard? I would love to know this because I need to get a feel of the audience listening. You guys that are on the YouTube chat, how many of you guys have heard my testimony of when God called me to preach the gospel? The supernatural protection where I had that accident, went across 8 lanes of the highway. If you've heard this, hit yes. Okay. If you've not heard it, hit no. And the reason why I'm asking that, because I may have to share that again, because I know we get new people on and times, you know, there's times I have to share these things, and you have to bear witness with the new people because they've never heard this, but it's just a powerful testimony. But anyway, I knew I'd been called to preach the gospel. That was in two, and that incident that I'm sharing with you, that happened, it was like in 2001, maybe somewhere around there, or in 2000. And watch this. It took 8 years. 8 years went by before I stepped into that calling, that complete calling to transition to this. Okay. So make a long story short. So the whole time I'm working in this construction supply company, there was time. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I was like the children of Israel. I was groaning, complaining, Lord, how long do I got to do this? How long am I going to be here? But the whole time I'm there, that was my pulpit. Customers come in. If the door opened for me to witness to them, I witnessed them. I would share the gospel with people there. I would be doing, I would have praise, worship music on back there in the back where I'm working. People come in, they hear that, they're exposed to that. So then 2008 came, the Great Recession, the crash, the housing market crash. And at that point, there was mass layoffs. And I told my wife, I said, I feel like I'm going to get laid off. And she said, well, you have seniority over people that's been there. You know, you've been there a lot longer than a lot of these people. They would get laid off before you. And I said, I know, but I'm telling you, I feel that I'm going to be laid off. And I feel like this may be the beginning or the initial stages of me stepping out of the marketplace into my calling. So long story short, I get laid off. And at that time, you know, by faith, I stepped into, and for 2 years, guys, I was traveling. I was as an evangelist, I would preach at these little churches here and there, but nobody, it was nothing like it is today. And then 2010, I launched End Time Headlines of July of 2010. And then it took about 3 years before it finally took off. In 3 years, it exploded in 2000, right around 2013, it started taking off. We started growing. And then, and as time went on, God just continually used, and to this day still uses, this platform and this ministry to reach, God truly only knows how many people around the world. So here's the bottom line I'm trying to tell you today. When we give our heart to the Lord, we are all called to preach the gospel. To some, you're called out there in the marketplace. To others, you may be called and God's raising you up to be a voice in the church, in the pulpit, in a podcast, behind a microphone. There's no way I can tell. I cannot look unless I got to know you and prayed for you and the Lord revealed to me. I can't distinguish who has that calling and who don't. That's between you and God. Let me show you. This is one of my, I remember when I first got saved, this was one of my favorite passages. And the first part of this, everybody's heard it. But the next part, nobody talks about it. Ready? Jeremiah 29:11. And this is the heart of God. And I know in context, this was to the Jews, Daniel, Jeremiah, and those that were in Babylonian captivity. I understand the context of this. And he was speaking to them, distinctively speaking to them, but it reveals the heart of God towards all of us. Look what it says. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. These are thoughts that God has towards us. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, right? To give you a future and a hope. Now look at the verse 12. That's Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody can quote that. But what about verse 12? Then, look at this. You will call upon me. Somebody say, call upon me and go and pray. Somebody say, go and pray to me, to the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Go and pray to the Lord. And look what he says. And I will listen to you. Verse 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Okay, guys, if you want to know, how did I make my calling assured? How did I know that? How did I know that my firstborn son would be a boy and God showed me that and spoke to me before? How did I know these things? How did I get those dreams? How did I get those words from God for people? The answer is what I just showed you. Remember, call upon the Lord. Go and pray. The Lord will listen. And if you will seek him with all of your heart, you will be found by him. You will be found by him. God is looking for obedient, willing vessels that have prayed and sought the Lord and want to be his mouthpiece. And if that's you, he's going to use you. So I want to pray for you right now, right where you're at. I don't care if you work in retail, restaurant, office, warehouse, whatever your job is, whatever your occupation is, I'm going to ask the Lord to use you right where you're at. Now, if he has a calling outside of that, I want to encourage somebody today, stay faithful where you're at. That's what I had to do. Did I like my job? It was okay. There was times I didn't like it. But I would love to have been, but it wasn't my passion or my desire, no. But I knew that God had me there for a reason, and it was greater than me just bringing money home. Are you hearing me? It was greater than just bringing bread on the table and paying the bills. God had me there for a season, and when that season was over, he would position me and promote me to the next season of my life. So I want to encourage you, be faithful where you're at. Even if you don't like it, even if you're discouraged, even if you're disappointed, even if you're tired, you're weary, be faithful over what God has entrusted you with, and God will, and when he sees that, he will promote you and elevate you into what your heart and desire and what he's called you to do in due season. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Okay? But I want to pray right here. Come on, receive this word right now. Receive this word for your place of, because there's people out there at your work that needs the God you serve. There's people in your place of employment that need to hear about the real Jesus, not this fake, phony, religious form of godliness that has no power. I'm talking about a real Jesus that speaks today, lives today, operates today, is still in a miracle working business today, and he's still using the hands and feet of the recipients and those that are obedient to allow him to be the vessel that he'll use today. Come on, receive this today. Father, in the name of Jesus today, I have spoken what you have put on my heart. I pray that your word will not return void, but it will prosper in that which is sent forth, Lord, and bring forth fruit today. I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice, those that are watching, those that are listening, listening. I pray that they would receive a spirit of boldness today in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm reminded of the apostles in the book of Acts. When they came together, they testified of the great things that you did in the midst of them. And when they prayed, the Bible says the entire place where they were shaken. They were all filled with great grace and great power, that you empowered them to go out and go out of the walls of the church, go into the highways and byways, and be a living gospel in the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to the dying world in the marketplace. Father, I thank you. Lord, you said even in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, every person on the sound of my voice that is hungry, those that are willing to receive it, those that have their hands lifted and that are desiring more of you, and that they want this boldness, they want this fire, they want the courage to step out and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd fill them with power and boldness right now, where they're at, in their living room, in their place, in their office, their car, their vehicle, where they're at. May they receive the baptism of the fire and Holy Ghost in Jesus' name, and empower them to be bold witnesses. Lord, I ask that you would release, that you would speak and release dreams and visions to those, Lord God, that will not just have dreams and visions to say that they had them, but they'll act upon them. They'll be obedient to those dreams, because these dreams and these visions that are given to them are for a purpose. It's to equip, it's to minister, it's to edify, it's to warn, it's to encourage others around them in Jesus' name. So I pray that, Father, we would receive, speak to us through dreams, speak to us through visions, speak to us through circumstances. I pray, Father, that you would begin to release words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discernment, discerning of spirits, Lord, gifts of prophecy, Lord, gifts of healings, Lord, gifts of faith and miracles. Lord, release these gifts. Come on, somebody, right now, lay hands on your stomach right here. Lay hands on your stomach right now. Father, you said stir up the gift of God that's within you. I pray right now, somebody stir. Listen, somebody's been filled with the Holy Ghost, but you've allowed it to become stagnant. You're not using it. So lay it. Come on. I pray the Lord stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God in you. Stir it up so that he can use you again in the marketplace in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those that may be listening today and they're still in that place. They're still in that Egypt. They don't care for it. It brings home it brings home money. It pays the bills, but it's not their desire. It's not their fire. It's not their passion. They don't have a really love of it. They don't really enjoy what they do, but they're just kind of going through the motions. Father, and you've been called to a ministry. I pray that God would give you the grace and the power to sustain you until that door opens. Now, I feel led to share something real quick. I remember the first time the Lord ever showed me this, and this was such a powerful revelation. This was actually pertains to me. It was a rhema word given to me during that transition. I want to give this to somebody. This is somebody's word right here. In context, this is speaking of John the Baptist. Remember, he was anointed with the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. It was a voice crying in the wilderness. He prepared the way of the Lord, right? And turned the hearts of the fathers to the children, children to the fathers. But listen what it says about John in Luke 1:80. Luke 1:80. Look what it says here. The child grew and became strong in spirit. Look at this. And was in deserts, plural. Deserts, plural. Desert. A dry, barren, dead wilderness. That's what the word desert means. John remained in deserts, plural tense, not just one, multiple, until the day of his manifestation to Israel. Wow. Listen, some of you all, God has you right where you're at until the day of your manifestation. Joseph was in prison for 13 years. But your Bible says that he was in chains and fetters until his word came to pass. Wow, that's a word for somebody right there. You think you've missed it. You think God's forgotten you. No, God has a season of your manifestation. And when that season comes, honey, one door is going to close and another one's going to open. Listen, endtimeheadlines.com, endtimeheadlines.org. I hope you received that prayer today. I hope you were blessed by this word today. Listen, if you want to catch all of our podcasts, all of our content, our headlines, breaking news, everything, download a free app right there on your screen, available Apple, Android. Hit yes, push notifications. You're going to be good to go. You're going to be squared away. Everything's going to be right there for you. Listen, if you'd like to bless this ministry as we've been a blessing to you, you want to be a blessing back, you want to partner with us, this is your home church, whatever relationship with is, we want to give you an opportunity to support our ministry. You can do that by simply going to two different ways you can give. You can give electronically through the main website, or you can give by check or money order. Listen, if you go to the main website, this is what you're going to see. If you go, this is the desktop, the mobile view is going to look a little different. I want to show you how to do this. So if you scroll up here, you can see this big right here on the right of your screen where it says support the ministry. You just click there. All you got to do is just click that button. Now it's going to bring you here. And then you can see right here where you can make a new, you can donate here. You can give, like when you scroll down, you're going to see many places here. You can give check or money order right there at Intime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. We have many options here. Many people don't know this, so we're going over this with you. Cash App, Venmo, you can give by a credit card or PayPal or Google Pay. We accept Apple Pay. Right here, you can make a one-time gift, or you can make this a monthly donation or a monthly support as well. So again, we just want to thank you guys. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, that's when you and God, you can help us continue to share the gospel, get the word out, and partner with this ministry. So listen, we're going to sign off for today. We love you. We appreciate you. Remember, next Monday, man, if you listened to our last podcast, I slaughtered this so bad. It was ridiculous. First of all, this is kind of funny, but I was thinking we were in September then and going into October, but I don't know why my mind did that, but we are going to start our prayer up. We are going to start next Monday. So what is today? Tuesday. So next Monday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, we're going to go live right here on YouTube. So if you're listening by Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you got to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And then we're going to go live from YouTube and we're going to stream our live prayer session, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. It'll be at least 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes. We're just going to let the Holy Ghost move. We're going to pray over needs. You're going to send in your requests. We're going to come into agreement. We're going to pray over those needs. So we're excited about this. We're going to sign off for today. We plan on being back here tomorrow on Wednesday, September 4th. We typically don't broadcast on Wednesdays, but we were off on Monday for Labor Day. So we typically go 4 days a week. So we'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, Wednesday, September 4th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, keep you. May His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.